Well, as Neil said, my name is Dick Murphy, and I'm, among other things, a pastor at my church, at Randall Church in Williamsville, New York, and I also happen to be a practicing attorney, and have been involved for many, many years with Kingdom Bound Festival, Kingdom Bound Ministries. How many people have gone to the festival? A lot of you have gone there just a few weeks ago. It's an awesome time, and I spend every day there at the festival each year, and it's a real privilege to be able to do that. But I don't often get a chance to preach on the beach, so this is an awesome opportunity, and so I'm glad you all could be here and hear what the Lord has to say to us today. God is a powerful God, yes? And we just sang about that, our God, how great he is, and great is his name, and he's worthy to be praised, and he's indescribable, he's awesome, and he's full of splendor and full of majesty, and he's made this great and wonderful creation, and the skies and the earth and the sea, and he's big, and he's inapproachable or unapproachable. He's holy. He's everything. Yes, God is magnificent. But today, as awesome as God is, what I want to do is kind of bring it a little closer and talk about God as Father. God as Father. And get a handle on what that looks like and what it looks like to be able to call God Father. And that's not an easy thing because God is so big and powerful. And sometimes it's hard to kind of bring our thinking down to that smaller, more personal thing about who God is. And so it's kind of a discovery this morning. Who is God as Father? Who is God as Father? And I trust God will show us something about that. But before I start, would you bow in prayer with me, please? God, I do come to you as Father and ask that you would speak through me this morning the words that you would have us to hear so that you would be lifted up and we'd understand more fully exactly who it is that you are and how we can have a relationship with you as God the Father, in whose name I pray, amen. Well, before Jesus came to earth, the Jewish people, and for that matter, the people all around in where Jesus lived in the Near East, they didn't think about God as Father. Of course, the Greeks, the Romans, they had their whole pantheon of gods, and they were apart, and they were away, and they were not at all personal. And the Jewish people, God was holy, and they worshiped the one God, the only God, but they didn't think of him as Father at all. In fact, they would even not say God's name. God had a name called I Am, and the Jewish folks and people would not even say that name because of how holy God was. They didn't want to bring his holiness down by speaking that way of him. So God, the concept of God as a personal God, as God as Father, it just wasn't part of their thinking at all. It wasn't. It just simply wasn't there, and much less some kind of a personal relationship with God as Father. I mean, Father implies personal relationship. And even though God interacted with many people in the Old Testament. We think of Moses, we think of Joshua, we think of other characters in the Old Testament. It just was not his Father. It was still God, this big God. And even references in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that speak of God as Father are not really in a personal way. They're just one of his names. So we don't really have a picture coming into the time of Jesus about God as Father. At least the people that Jesus was talking to didn't so much. And even as they would read the Bible, the Old Testament, what we know is the Old Testament, we don't get a picture of Father from looking at the characters in the Old Testament particularly. Now, it's not all negative. There are some good pictures of fathers in the Old Testament and what an ideal father would be. And if we want to find out about God as Father and look to people in the Old Testament, we can maybe get a little picture. I mean, the Old Testament talks about a father as being valued as simply a father in terms of parenting and having children, and talks about a father as being responsible for family and taking care of family. And that was a good thing. And Joshua, for example, said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So there's a picture of a father that's good. But unfortunately, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, there's far, far too many pictures of men who were not very good fathers at all. And so we don't especially get a good picture about what's what's good about being father other than to look at the negative, so to speak. And there's some of those. Let me just list a few things off for you. I mean, fathers, failed fathers in the Old Testament. This is kind of a list of failed fathers in the Old Testament and what they were like. One is it that, they were inattentive to their children. They didn't take care. They didn't discipline their kids. King David is a good example of that. If you read about King David, he was not real good about taking care of what his kids would do. Fathers in the Old Testament, oftentimes they preferred one child over another. They kind of ranked them, you know, and that's not real good as a parent to prefer one child over another. They set bad examples of their children. And in fact, sometimes their kids would get led to ruin. They went the same path their father did, and not a very good thing. A lot of fathers in the Old Testament were what I would call bullies. Actually, even King Saul, the first king of Israel, tried to bully his own son into going against the king who would be, or the person who would be king, David, and even tried to kill Jonathan when he wouldn't follow along. Not a very good example of a father, for sure. Fathers in the Old Testament, bad ones, did not give God a relationship with God a priority in the family or in their own lives and set their kids off against that. Well, I could give lots of examples, lots of other examples of that. In fact, there's lots of good, bad examples in the Old Testament, what a father shouldn't be, if you will. But they at least give us a notion that fathering has to do with a relationship. Fathering has to do with a relationship and the responsibilities that come from that relationship. And fathering also seems to have to do with character and actions that derive from that character. When Jesus came, that kind of picture of God and relationships and character and actions that flow from that began to take a much stronger picture, I guess, a stronger view, a much more focused view of what God as Father is. And in fact, Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God, came to show what the Father looked like. We can't see God because he's spirit. He's not seeable. But in Jesus, God-man, at the same time, people could touch. They could see. They could hear Jesus' words. In effect, they were hearing God's words. So Jesus himself was the perfect example of who God is. But beyond that, Jesus talked about God as his Father. He constantly talked about God as Father. Even, in fact, the Gospel of Luke says that when Jesus was about 12 years old and he went to the temple in Jerusalem, his parents left. They couldn't find him on the trip back to their home after a couple of days, and they said, "Where's Jesus?" They went back to Jerusalem, and they found him in the temple, and he was with the leaders, and he was teaching and discussing with them. And he said to his folks, "I have to be about my Father's business. I have to be doing my Father's business." Here's a 12-year-old kid talking about God as his Father. But he talked about God as Father over and over and over and over again, referred to him as Father. But of course, that's not an accident, because that was his Father. God, the Son of God, Jesus, the Son of God, of course would talk about God as Father, and that's exactly what he did. But beyond that, Jesus came to reveal God and to reveal that those who were listening to him could have a relationship with God as Father. They could have a relationship with God just the way Jesus, in effect, had a relationship with God. So here's a couple of statements that Jesus used about God as Father. He said, "The Father loves the Son and shows him all he does." Jesus said, "I and the Father are one." He said, "All things have been committed to me by my Father." And then in the garden in Gethsemane, before Jesus was to be literally murdered, in the most personal way, he was talking to God as his Father. And I'm paraphrasing this. Basically, what he prayed was, "Daddy, everything is possible with you. Please let this cup pass." The cup meaning his impending death. Just calling out to his Father, his daddy, literally using that word. So Jesus' message, his message to his listeners was, you too can have a relationship with God as Father. You can call God Father. God is Father. You can have a child-father relationship with the very God of the universe. And that's the same exact message that Jesus speaks to us today. He said, Jesus said, no one comes to the Father except through me. He said, if anyone loves me, meaning Jesus, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. And he went on to say, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. In other words, you can have a relationship with God as Father, as your Father, if you believe in Jesus. And that is the truth that Jesus spoke. And that's the truth about God as Father, that in fact, he wants a relationship with each and every man, woman, and child. He wants a relationship as Father with all who would call on Jesus' name. He wants, as he said in John's gospel, he wants you to have the right to call him Father, to be his child. And he says, to those who believe in Jesus' name, he gives the right to become children of God. So the truth is that God is Father in that very, very personal way. God is my Father. I can call him Daddy, literally. This great and awesome God who made this wonderful, beautiful day, I can call him Father in that very personal way. So the question is, do you know God as Father? Do you know God as Father? That's really the question. But before we even answer that, what's my Father like? What's God my Father like? The New Testament gives us a real good picture of that, I believe, a beautiful picture. And so let me go through a couple of just quick points about my Father. I'm going to be bragging on my Father, my Heavenly Father. My Heavenly Father is trustworthy. Bible says, trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal. That's my Father. My Heavenly Father is faithful. I can always count on him to do what he says he'll do. My Heavenly Father is true. There's no lies, no spinning the truth, no shading the truth in who God the Father is. He's absolutely truth. He says, I, the Lord, speak the truth. I declare what is right. My Heavenly Father is unchangeable. He's not fickle. He doesn't change with the wind. He doesn't go this way and that. You can always count on him. It's not like shifting shadows. My Heavenly Father is always present. He's always there. He's never absent. He'll never go away. He'll never leave me. In Isaiah, the prophet, God says, am I only a God nearby and not a God for far away? Can anyone hide in secret places so that I cannot see? And of course, the answer is no. He's saying that as a point to show that he's always there. He's never absent, always present. My Heavenly Father knows everything about me. Now, that's a scary thing, isn't it? If your Father knows everything about you, but it's a good thing. I can't pull the wool over God's eyes at all. I can't fool him. I can't hide anything. He knows me, and yet he still loves me. My Heavenly Father knows me, but he still loves me with all the warts, with all the bad things. He still loves me. My Heavenly Father is eminently approachable. He's not distant. He's not like those Greek and Roman small g gods who you couldn't get near. My God is approachable. I can even come boldly before him. I can come into his arms. I remember when my kids were little and they're in their 20s and 30s now, they would run up to me like full blast right into my arms as if I was a rock, right? Well, I had all I could do not to roll over when they did that, but they believed that I was approachable. They could come right to me full out, full bore. I used to love that. They don't do that now. If they did that now, I'd be down on my back for sure. My Heavenly Father is loving to all his children. His love isn't just for me. It's for all his children. He doesn't play favorites. He doesn't prefer me over someone else. And for that matter, his love for his other children and all his children does not lessen his love for me. It's just as strong for all his children. We all know this verse, or maybe we do. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And that's for all those who would come to Jesus. All of those are his children. And I can even call my Heavenly Father Daddy, just like Jesus did. Just like Jesus did. He's not only Father, great God, great awesome God. He's Daddy. That very, very personal way. Very personal way. So the question is, do you know him? Do you know God as your father, as your daddy, this heavenly God who's the God of the universe? Do you know him? I know he wants to know you. I know God wants to know everyone who would call in Jesus' name. But there's more. What does my heavenly father do? How does he act out of who he is? Let me brag on him some more if I could. My heavenly father offers compassion. He has sympathy. He has concern for my condition, my sufferings, those things that bother me. He doesn't just say, go on, get a life, suck it up, right? We've heard that expression. God has compassion. He knows right where I am, and he has concern for those things that would concern me. My heavenly father provides comfort. We've all of us had grief in our lives in one way, shape, or form. God is the God who consoles in our grief. He says, come to me. Don't be anxious for anything. I'll take care of you. I'll give you my peace, even in the midst of grief. My Heavenly Father provides my needs, physical, spiritual, emotional, and every other need. Not my wants, note, not my wants, but my needs. He already knows. In fact, the Bible says your Heavenly Father knows what you need before you even ask him. He knows me. He knows what I need before I even ask him. Even if I don't know what I need, he knows what I need. My Heavenly Father gives good gifts. Jesus once said to people who were not followers of God, he said, if you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who will ask him? God is a God who gives good gifts. God is also a God who disciplines me. And that's a good thing because discipline gets me on the right road. It gives me righteousness. We should discipline our kids to get them on the right road, to help know right from wrong. If we don't discipline our kids, they don't know those things. God still disciplines. He disciplines me, not just because he's an ogre, but in heaven or something like that, but because he knows what would be good for me and he wants me to share his holiness. So he disciplines me in ways to shape me and make me more like Jesus Christ. My Heavenly Father always keeps doing good to me as his child. In fact, the Bible says, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. He treasures me as his possession. Sounds like an odd word, but really God, I am God's, so to speak. I'm his possession. All those who call in Jesus' name are his possession. And not just any possession, but a treasured possession. A treasured possession. I'm marked as his. I'm guaranteed an inheritance. I'm a lawyer and I do a lot of estate work and planning and that kind of thing. And people sometimes come and they're worried about what's their inheritance going to be? Is it going to be gone? Are my parents going to spend it all, right? What's going to be left? Jesus has given me an inheritance in eternity beyond this life, and it's sure, it's secure, it's not going to be spent, it's going to be there, it's promised. My Heavenly Father gives me and provides encouragement. He lifts me up, he keeps me going, encourages me in my heart, strengthening me in good deeds and word. God, the Heavenly Father, stays close to the brokenhearted. If we're brokenhearted, the Bible says the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Are you crushed in spirit? If you are, there's a Heavenly Father who stays close to you. If you're brokenhearted, are you brokenhearted today? Some of you might be. I don't know. If you are, there's a Heavenly Father who cares about you and comes alongside if you're brokenhearted and is with you in all those things. My Heavenly Father wants me to know him. He wants me to know him. He's given us the Bible, his word, that allows us to come to know him. You read God about God and you read of God in these pages and you'll come to know him. You'll come to know him through Jesus Christ. And best of all, my Heavenly Father loves me. I've said that already before, but can't bear enough emphasis. My Heavenly Father loves me, not in some generic way, but in a personal way. He loves me. He loves Dick Murphy. He loves everything about me. He wants my best. Just like we love our children. Hopefully you all here who have children love your children. I love my children. I'd give my life for my children. Well, that's exactly what God did in Jesus Christ. He came, God in the form of a human being came and gave his life for his children so that his children could have life. That's my Heavenly Father. So the question is, do you know him? Do you know God, the Heavenly Father? He wants to know you, and that's why Jesus Christ came. Jesus Christ came. So that you could know the Father. So to speak of God as Father, as I kind of sum up here, that speaks of a love relationship that a father has with beloved children. Those who come to Jesus, come to God through Jesus, can have that relationship. To speak of God as Father speaks of who God is, his character, his qualities, his characteristics, the characteristics of the perfect Father that I named off, some of those things, taking care of us, wants to know us, does things for our good. So while your earthly father might fail you, God, the heavenly Father, will never fail you. While your earthly father might leave, some of you have fathers who left their families. I know too many people. I don't do that kind of law work, but I've done enough of it to know fathers leave. God, the heavenly Father, will never, never, never leave you. And while your earthly father's love might wane, it might go away, the love of God, the Father, will always be there. It's everlasting. It's everlasting. When he died on the cross, Jesus, in fact, was separated from the love of God, his Father. For agonizing hours, he hung on the cross and even said, my God, my Father, why have you forsaken me? Why have you left me? Why are you not there with me? He'd had perfect unity with his Father till that point. But Jesus did that very thing on the cross, separated himself, this perfect union with his Father, God, so that by his taking that separation on himself, you and I could know God as Father and never be separated from God's love. The Bible says God demonstrated, he proved his love for us in that while we were still sinners, while we were still separated from his holiness by our unholiness, Christ died for us. And the book of Romans goes on to say that for those who know Jesus Christ, who know God the Father through Jesus, nothing, nothing, nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ. Nothing can never be separated. So what are we to do with all this? God is Father, this wonderful God who knows, wants to know you personally. How can you know God in that way? How can you have a personal relationship so that you too can call God Father? That's really the most important question of the entire universe, of your entire existence. Can I know God as Father? And the answer is, thank God, yes. And that's through Jesus Christ. That's through Jesus Christ. Jesus, in fact, by what he did on the cross, he died on the cross, he rose again, he's alive today, praise God. And he's inviting you to come. He's inviting you to come today. He's truly God, and he died so that you could come. And he rose from the dead so you could have eternal life and become a part of God's family and call God Father. You too can call God Father. That's the most wonderful news, it seems to me, in the entire world. And that is what we call and why we call it the good news. So what I want you to do right now is if you'd be kind enough to do that, just bow your heads if you would. Just bow your heads. And if any of you here don't know God as your Father, if you don't know Jesus Christ, and you want that, you want that, you want to be able to call God my Father, you want to be able to have that relationship with him so that he'll never leave, he'll always be there, he'll do just what's good for you, he'll discipline, he'll mold you to be like Jesus, he'll mold you to be a righteous. All you need to do, if you want to take that step, all you need to do is just say to God, admit to God, that you're separated from him. You don't know him. You don't know him because your life has been not holy. It's not perfect. You've sinned. All of us have sinned. Admit that you can't save yourself and that you need a savior. You need somehow, somebody to get you right with God. And that somebody is Jesus. And so you can say to Jesus, please come into my life. Please take my life over. I want to give my life to you so that I can know you and I can call God Father. And if you do that, the Bible says you become a child of God and God is your Father. There's nothing magic about those words. His eyes are closed and head still bowed. It's just to say those things to God. Any words you want to use, just admit to him, God, I need you. Jesus, I need you. I'm separated. I want wholeness in my life. please, please take my life over. Please take my life over. And you can all raise your heads back now. And if any one of you has done that, has right this moment asked Jesus into your life so you can know God your Father, please come to me, come to Neil, come to any of us after. Tell us that you did that so we can pray with you and we can rejoice that you're part of God's family and help you out on that walk that just started. Please do that. And know that if you did that, your Heavenly Father is yours forever. It doesn't change. He's yours forever. And he's the greatest dad in the world. Well, but all I can say to that is, amen. God is good. God is Father. And Jesus Christ calls you. Please come. Please come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are the Heavenly Father. You are lifted up and exalted. You are great and glorious, and yet you are Father. And I thank you that you have provided for us in Jesus Christ so that we can call you Father. We can come to you, and we can be born anew and afresh and have a new life. God, I just pray for anybody here who said that to you this morning, who's given their life to you, that you would assure them that you are Father. Assure them, Jesus, that you are Lord, and help them now as they start on that walk to follow you. And Lord, we thank you that we've been able to be here this morning in this glorious setting with the waves crashing and the sky of blue and the sun shining down. It seems not a care in the world. God, we thank you that we could be here this morning. And we give you praise and we bless your name. And we thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for letting me be here, and God bless you all.